Chapter 19. Isidro D'Amato knew he wouldn't be able to sleep until he'd counted it all out again, just one more time. He had his valise open and was fingering the bags of coins. He opened each in turn, loosening the drawstring, and sorted through the different denominations. He always had as much as he could in coinage, and kept it in his own hiding places, rather than the banking houses of Miragliano. That had proved to be a wise course. He cursed the marsh trader who had offered him such an irresistibly low price for 2 barge tankers of supposed rainwater. When the watchman and anyone whose business took them to a watch station started dropping dead, sickly foam leaking from every orifice, D'Amato had instinctively known it was time to leave the city and move into his Bretonian household. His coins clinked as he passed them from hand to hand. He would leave Antonia Marsilac along the way somewhere, he'd decided. Given the choice between hard, cold coin and soft, warm skin, he would always choose the former. This was a strange house. He'd be happy to leave. He began to replace his coin bags in his valise, carefully slipping them in. Something in the bag moved, and he pulled his hand out quickly, tucking it into his armpit. He had felt a small, warm body. It was the size of a rat, but it hadn't been furred. Rather, its back had been covered with tiny quills that made his skin sting. Blue eyes peered up from the dark of the bag. He was unable to make a sound. He watched, in horror, as the valise tipped over, unbalanced by the shifting weight of the thing inside. Then, in a black blur, the thing shot out and, squeaking, disappeared. A money bag chunked against the floor and a scrap of parchment drifted out. It was an old bill from his counting house that he'd used to line the bottom of the valise. He picked up the paper and looked at it. It wasn't covered in the jotted figures he remembered. It was a plan of some sort, but it wasn't complete. The lines were broken up, as if he only had half of the design, the scribe having been interrupted before he could ink in all the faded pencil lines. There were the remains of a seal on the paper, a baby swan's head in black wax. Behind him, a door opened. He turned. D'Amato clutched his dagger. No one would steal his coins and live.
"Montoni," the newcomer said. "Grandfather, it's me."
It was Pintaldi. He slumped forwards into the room. He held up his arm. 3 of his fingers were missing, and the stumps were still pumping blood.
"It was Flaminia and Schedoni," he gasped. "They're trying to cut our branch out of the will."
"The will?"
"Yes, the fortune should be ours, Grandfather. I know you have returned to put our case."
"I'm not..."
Pintaldi threw himself into a chair and started binding his hand with a scarf.
"I recognised you from the portrait in the gallery, Grandfather. You haven't changed that much in 60 years. Still the same Montoni."
The merchant was confused. He knew he was not this Montoni, and yet there was something.
"The fortune, you say?"
Pintaldi nodded.
"It's vast by now. The interest compounded since the time of Smara's father. Unimaginably vast."
D'Amato tried to imagine an unimaginably vast fortune. He tried to see it in coins. A pile of money bags the size and shape of a city or a mountain.
"And, Grandfather, I still have my half of the map. It's tattooed on the backs of my children. With your half, the pirate's treasure shall be ours. And damn these silly stories about the Black Signet's curse."
Treasure? D'Amato's prick hardened. Treasure. He looked at the paper from his valise, casually cast aside, and back at Pintaldi. Alert now, he listened. But he didn't mention the half map he'd found.
"They're plotting all the time. Flaminia, Ravaglioli, Schedoni, all of them. Plotting to cut us out. Vatek is with us, but Valdemar isn't. I can win Christabel round. She likes a handsome face. But Genevieve is a witch. We'll have to kill her."
He was beginning to follow.
"A witch? Yes, a witch.
Ambrosio is the real problem. Your brother, Chocca, knows you were exchanged in infancy and that he is really Montoni and you Ambrosio. But that can be dealt with. You were Montoni when you ran off, when you fathered my father with that bandit queen, when you slew the wood elf who could have given testimony against us.
Montoni remembered. He had only been using the name of D'Amato as a disguise. He had forgotten, but returning home had brought it all back. The fortune was rightfully his. The treasure was rightfully his. Schedoni and Flaminia were usurpers. Not a coin would go to them.
Pintaldi, my beloved grandson,
he said, embracing the youth.
Our cause will prevail.
Pintaldi cringed, binding his hand tighter.
We must kill Genevieve and Ambrosio.
Yes, he said. Indeed, we must.
Tonight.
Yes, tonight.
Chapter 12.